Texas City
and everywhere in between.
99.5 FM K258 BZ Sugarland and 99.5 FM K258 DA Houston.
Radio Debung is powered by Discount Power. Go to Discount Power TX.
I can invite children, youth, and adults to volunteer and give back to the community. So, good morning, Rusty. How are you today?
Good morning, Lynn. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me, right?
Yes.
So, thank you for joining me this morning. All these weeks on Chai Chai, we've had many guests on, and of course, the main topic has been COVID-19. And today, we brought you on to get your perspective on how things are impacting nonprofit organizations as well. Mm-hmm. So, let me begin by asking you, how is this affecting you?
Well, when this COVID started off, United Inspire is mainly about how we are involving the children into the community service. So COVID situation is such a thing that we cannot really risk anyone, be it children or adults or anyone. The best thing what we can do is refrain from any physical presence and maintain the social distance. So we had to cancel all our activities, and there were like so many activities that were lined up for until the summer that we had cancelled everything, and children were like clueless what to do, and parents were even more clueless. So everything went in for a toss, and nobody was having any idea about what the situation is and how do we deal it and what are the do's and don'ts. So none of us had any idea excepting that this is a situation we have to be very careful about. So the entire activity of the organization has come to a standstill at one point. But we had a strategy like to deal with it, because first thing is, what we majorly do in our organization is bringing awareness about causes of our organizations. The same, now, even in this COVID situation, we have done the same thing. We first brought the awareness about what this coronavirus is and what this COVID situation is and how important it is to maintain the social distance and what are the precautions we need to take. So we explained this to our volunteers and made sure that we maintain all that. So it actually, it kind of put us into a situation where we were left with no choice but to do what is best at this time. So it affected us greatly. In a tricky way, like where the normal activity schedules or the regular ways of working or the ways of giving back to, like, helping our community, has changed. Now, we are, our organization and our volunteers are always ready to help the friends in the community. But here, we want to help, but the situation in the community is such that you cannot go and help.
Right.
You know, so that's where our hands were tied down.
Okay. So, you being the founder of this organization, how were you able to motivate people who wanted to help, and how did you inspire them in what different ways?
Yeah. See, when we see a situation like this, a crisis situation like this, we first have to see who is that, who is getting impacted by this. Like, you know, are we the ones, or are there any other in the community, any section in the community that is getting impacted? And yes, we are far better off than many people in the community, like who are without food and who are, like, cannot go out because of their elderly age, or who are immunocompromised and they have to take utmost precautions that they cannot step out. And there are some, like, who are already positive and need to take care of their well-being and their family's well-being. So there are different situations that what we saw. So we saw that the best way to engage our volunteers positively in the situation is to show that empathy and to show that encouragement and to show that inspiration, you know, and to them that this is not going to stay all along. Like, it is just a phase that it is passed on. So we need to be strong. So we engaged our volunteers remotely.
Okay.
With the remote activities. Like, say, they did the cards for seniors in our partnering our mission, Carriage Inn.
Okay.
They were all, like, you know, they are the section which were mostly affected, because it was all along it was told that seniors were the ones who were being affected by the COVID, pretty much as immunocompromised are. So they are scared, you know, they are scared to step out, and they were not allowed to go into the grocery stores and all that. So imagine, like, you know, staying in their home all the time and not see anyone else excepting their neighbors, like in the very senior living community. So making some cards like that is a great way for the children, like, to show that, you know, encouragement. And also they made some cards for the homeless children, like, who are not going to the school, and they're pretty much in their shelters, and, sending these cards to them saying that, you know, notes of encouragement, like, you know, this is going to go away, kind of. And they also made some in-room activity kits for the seniors. So this is one way of where we maintain the social distance. They made the hygiene procedures, and they did it in such a way that there is no in-person contact, and we made sure that everything is done in the most appropriate way that is to be done in these times. But at the same time, we engage them in giving back to the community. Maybe there are some restrictions as to when we probably might want to go and feed them, but we cannot do it. But this is what we can do. So we started off with that.
Okay. So how do you tell the kids, because I know a lot of them, you have a lot of kids volunteers, a lot of them, you know, are always striving to do better, striving to do more. And now during this situation, I'm sure a lot of them probably calling you and saying, we want to do something, we want to, you know.
Absolutely.
And so how do you answer to them, and how do you curb their enthusiasm, if you have to?
if there is something that keeps us going, it is these children. They are the inspirations,
right.
You know.
Right.
And but not just us, their moms, dads, and everyone around. So
right.
It's like, as we know, when this COVID situation started, there was extreme shortage of blood. Extreme shortage of blood. That some of the blood banks were like completely, like very low in their volume, like, you know, the
yeah.
blood volume, like what they had. And there were a lot of, a lot of organizations who were trying to do, but they couldn't do because of the situation, because of, restrictions what we had to do such a camp. So these kids, when we told them, what you would like to do, do you want to do this, do these awareness videos? They all jumped in. They came out of the Zoom call and they came up with such great ideas, and they made such wonderful message-oriented videos. I mean, I have to learn from them how to make these videos. So they are that great, and they are the pro at their works. So all of these kids who are in the middle school and high school, they came together and they made these videos completely all by themselves, and such strong message-oriented ones. And they were sharing these videos to their friends, their families, and into the communities where they become aware of the necessity, you know, that if there is any blood camp, then one would not be hesitant to go there and donate the blood, you know. So they are being the brand ambassadors of all these causes, you know. They are taking it to one notch higher than just making the video. They're taking it to a next level of bringing awareness through their video. So
we
just tell them one activity and one point of the activity, they do the rest of them. So they're making the best use of the social media in a nice way, actually.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
They are well versed in social media. So Rashmi, you have started a relief campaign.
Right.
It started April the 20th, I believe, right?
Right.
About that, and how is it progressing so far?
So the relief campaign's idea came up, initiation of that came up on the April 20th, because now is the time where we have these distribution sites who have the drop-off locations, like where you don't have to go in person, meaning be in person and donate the stuff, but you can drop off in their centers, and in turn, like, they're going to do the distribution to the needy as a drive-through. So we are doing with a lot of coordination all these efforts, and we have about like five organizations like who are coordinating among ourselves to do these distributions. And after a careful assessment of the needs in the community, we have come with these three items, like food, laptop devices, and the school supplies. The major need what we see in the community now is the food supplies. As you all know, that, you know, these shelters and even the food banks are so depleted in their inventory. So we are, and at the same time now, we cannot really do the public drives, like where we are, you're out in the open in the market and then you're asking the public to come and donate. If we are not in that situation yet. So what we are doing through this campaign is each volunteer is owning their campaign. They're choosing their campaign, and they're doing it in their own ways, in their own neighborhoods and in their social media, in their network, through their families and friends, and then, you know, either raising the donations or raising the supplies. And so this is in a very safest way that they're doing. So so these food supplies, they're doing it more like a project, like where they're not only bringing awareness about where are the distribution sites for these food supplies and who are the organizations we are partnering with, and who are people, like, you know, who are getting benefited by these. You know, this awareness is, again, you know, mutual. Like the campaigner is getting it. At the same time, the campaigner is sharing this information with the community. Through the social media and through print media and diversified ways. And laptops, although the school districts have distributed laptops to a lot of children in need, but we still have huge number of children who are still in need of these laptop devices or the computers, who, because of which, like, they're not able to take, because they don't have, they're not able to avail the online education. We do have those numbers. And so we partnered with a couple of organizations who would refurbish these donated laptops.
Okay.
They refurbish it and they make it ready, and then we donate, in turn we donate it to the kid, like, who is in need of this. So for example, like in our partnering organization, Fort Bend Family Promise, this is a transition homeless shelter, and where they have a program called Youth Empowerment Program. They are called YUP Kids. So these are the kids like who are provided educational resources by the Forbidden Family Promise, and these are some of the kids like where they are either they have the laptop and they don't have the internet connection, or they don't have the laptop at all and they are looking for some so that they can continue their education. So providing these laptops, we are doing in collaboration with Friends of Northwest. So together we are all doing, see, this is the beauty of this, like the situation what we are in. Yes, we know this is a crisis, but this is the time we all have to get together. And what we have seen is all of the nonprofits have come together. This is not like what we are doing and what you're doing and all that. What we can do together.
Right.
Community. So when we, as nonprofits, all of us are coming together, we are also bringing that awareness about the causes of the community to the volunteers, that they also come together. So they are all coming together, helping each other, and then, giving back to the community through this campaign. So the efforts are so much that one of our campaigners' video, the awareness video, that the campaign appeal video, what he has done, has actually caught the attention of KHOU, that they wanted to telecast that tomorrow. So these kind of things excite the children.
Yeah.
My campaign is on the air, or my campaign is on the TV. So now this not only encourages them to do things like this more, but also come up with innovative ideas.
Right.
Now they start thinking and they take it one notch higher again.
Right. I know. The kids are incredible these days. They are always striving to do better, always striving to, give back to the community. So it's so wonderful to see that.
Yeah.
So now you did mention about shortage of food.
Yes.
And also gently used laptops, right? You also, I believe, also have school supplies.
Yes.
That you all are accepting as well.
Yes. So, you see the situation in the grocery stores and the supplies what they have in the grocery stores, it is the same. The inventory is very low, and a lot of these schools, the shelters, usually they provide the supplies to the children who are sheltered by them, or the school intern, we usually do this school supplies drive at the end of the year, end of the school year.
Right.
All of the schools also do it. The school districts. They have it in, and they ask the children, if you do not want to take your supplies home, you can donate it, you can drop it off in this bin. But in this situation, when the schools are closed, those bins don't exist. And so, you will not have many supplies that can be given to the children. We get requests every year from teachers who are working in Title I schools that their children need supplies. And are we in a position to donate any school supplies to them? So these requests come in the month of June, July, so that, they keep it ready for the children who are returning to the school can avail these supplies in their classes. So we are raising these school supplies for those kinds of schools, and also the homeless shelters where these children can be provided these, and also in the communities where they cannot reach to these stores, or they like Rosharan, that is a community where it is far away and then often neglected, or a lot of times you see huge need in this community. Like communities like that are always in need of these kind of supplies for their children. So the raising these school supplies is with an idea of keeping it ready for the upcoming year.
I see. Okay. That's good, because you guys are already being proactive in doing this, because we kind of forget that we are so focused right now on COVID, but not realizing that once it's not going to end completely, but when things kind of get back to a bit normalcy, then of course then what happens then? And I think working proactively is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, when this COVID situation, as they're seeing, even if it is dying down or coming to the normalcy by the summertime, but no one knows really how the summer schedules are going to be, because everything got changed now, that either the summer courses or the special courses what they're taking in the schools, or the summer schools, whether they're going to be there with the full schedule or they're going to be an altered schedule, no one knows about that. And we don't know how the summer is going to look. When we are in the situation, then we would know. We are in that kind of a path, So we, even before you realize how it is going, you have the reopening of the school. And and then you would end up in a situation where, well, you're rushing for your school supplies, but we would also have lots of children who are looking for such supplies. So instead of running around at that time, we wanted them to do this more productively by the end of the school year. Technically, even though they're taking online school, they're technically attending their school. They're doing their school assignment. So we're keeping it in lines of the of that schedule, what they usually would have, that by the end of May, they are raising some school supplies and keeping it ready for their friends who can get advantage from these supplies. That, you know, the underlying thing about this campaign is we are giving them an opportunity to know how positively they can come out of a crisis situation, how they can positively impact the community with their little, you know, efforts, like whatever they're doing. It need not be a huge effort, but with whatever little they're doing, how positively they can impact the community in a crisis situation. So, like, so I'm sure all of our volunteers have lots of stories that they would say. If one asks, how did you deal with this crisis situation? They will have lots of positive stories. They have lots of inspirational stories. That is what we are looking at. That is how we want our volunteers to look at a crisis situation and how to deal with it. You know, it's easy to call them on a Zoom meeting and then tell them, okay, this is a situation, this is what you do, and this is how you have to deal with. Those are all words for them. But when you give them a hands-on experience, that is when they learn. And that is when they understand it completely. And see, this is an experience for them in their life. And they're probably in their elementary school, or they're probably in their middle or high. But as they grow, they will remember this experience and also what they did in this situation and how they overcame that and how they still help the community. So that gives them an idea in the later years of what more they can do. You know, so that's the concept behind that.
It hasn't stopped right here because of COVID.
Yeah.
And I'm still making an impact, teaching the children that, like you said, you know, they're learning something through this crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really great because that is what you all stand for. I mean, that is what you all look for, is to still educate the children.
Right.
And, you know, still teach them what life is all about. It's not just a bed of roses. It's a great, great way to get the kids involved and not stop because of the crisis.
Right.
So, yeah, that is wonderful. So, do you have any drop-off centers for during this campaign that you're doing?
Well, all of the campaigners who are doing it, they all have their drop-off locations, like they're doing it. But if anyone has who are not part of any campaign, like who are not approached by any of the campaigners, and they still would want to donate, if they want to donate any monetary donations that they'd want to do, they can do it on our website, which is unitedinspire.org/COVID-19. So on that page that they can do it. And they can also drop off their supplies at my place. It's in the Sugar Land. Do you want the physical address that you want me to give you?
Yeah, go ahead.
4942 Thunder Creek Lane, Sugar Land. So they can drop off their supplies here. We would have a bin outside. There is no need of in-person contact, or they need not, unless they need the receipt, they can put a note on their supplies if they want the receipt for their donations, or they can drop it off in the bin and leave. No, so we would not need them to be in person, or we don't need any contact, physical contact and all that. So safely they can drop it off in the bins and leave. And we would make sure that all these supplies are donated to the needy families.
Okay. And you have a contact number as well?
Yeah. 408-755-0177.
Okay. Can you repeat that again for our listeners?
Sure. 408-755-0177.
Okay. And of course, we do have your flyer, so we will be, you know, it is on Chaita page as well, so if people want to get more information, they can just get
a copy
of your flyer as well.
So we are also, besides this, our volunteers are all proactive. They're all charged up, and they're conducting the online sessions now. They're going to do the online sessions in arts, and they're going to do the online sessions in coding. and also the digital workshops. So they quickly adapted to this online media, you know, like how, so they're finding out ways how we can help the community through the Zoom sessions and through these online classes. And we are ready for doing online tutorials for the children in need who would want to get help with their subjects. So we are coming up with all those interesting activities, and we already are preparing for our summer schedules. So that is something like what children are very excited about. And there's no stopping. I don't think we have any pause.
That's wonderful, because, you know, life goes on, and we have to find ways. And as human beings, we somehow find ways to still move on and still progress. So, you know, seeing these kids doing that and coming up with ideas like that, and they are so good with their devices.
Right.
And of course, we are so fortunate that we do have social media and we do have access to all of this. So that's great.
There is a two-way, there's an edge in the social media. Like, you know, on one side, when you constantly hear about COVID-19 on the TV and on the social media and everywhere, children are scared. And we do not want them to be scared of the situation. We want them to brave it, and we want them to come out of it with a good force and with a positive outlook of it, like how we can what are the ways to survive the situation and how to come out of it in a very positive way. So that is what, like, we want them to know. So when we saw that, you know, for a while, like all throughout the March, when it was like it is a serious situation. We have to understand that too. Yeah. But then the children cannot be really impacted, like, you know, saying that, oh my God, what is this COVID? And they shouldn't be really scared to step out. You know, they should know what are the precautions they need to take so that they can step out. You know, they need to know, like, what are the do's and don'ts so that they can step out, they can still interact. So from that point to how they can still give back to the community is what, like, we are trying to provide to them through these activities. And we are very proud to say that, you know, we have so many of our volunteers who took up this campaign and already raising supplies, and they ask us a million questions. Where is this going? What are we doing? And can we do this? Can we do that? So that kind of a spirit, that positive spirit, is what we look for. And that's where the success lies, you know?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, like, just tell us a little bit about how the students have, how did you start this? Like, I know at the beginning, we were all very, there was a lot of fear,
mm-hmm.
And we were all just sitting and waiting, hoping that, you know, things would calm down, but, you know, things kind of went the other way.
Right.
So, would you have any stories where you have kids calling you, asking you, because usually kids do that.
Yes.
They tend to ask a lot of questions to the adults. And sometimes as parents, we don't have the answers, and then we just think, like, you know, just go ask Rusty, maybe she knows everything.
Yes. Interestingly, at this time, not only kids, but even the parents but their questions were not about what's going to happen. Their questions were, how can we help?
Okay.
How can we be part of helping our community now? Like, what is the plan? So what are the do's and don'ts? Like, so even the parents, the moms, I have had calls from a lot of moms who approached us when they heard about the mask making, when they heard about the scarcity of the food. And if the kids called us saying that, okay, now that we don't have on-location activities, how can we still help the community? What are the ways? So they were browsing, like, some kids, when they were talking to me, they asked, they kind of shared their fears. Is this what it's going to be like, or are we still okay? Are we going to be okay? So these kind of fears what they had, they still shared. Probably they were a little apprehensive about sharing these fears with their parents, but you know, when we talk projects and all that, then when we did this these awareness videos for the blood donation, it was for the Be The Match. Be The Match is our collaborator, and they do an incredible job in any situation, even in this crisis. time, they made sure that, you know, they got the permissions for the donors to come and donate the blood, or like, you know, donate the bone marrow, like stem, for the stem cells and all that. So when they do these kinds of stuff, they come back to me, the children come back to me. So how do they do it? And what do we do? And what are the precautions? So can we do that now?
Like, so. Okay, sorry, Rusty, I just need to interrupt you a bit because we need to go on break. But when we come back, we will continue this conversation.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So listeners, we are going on break, just a little short break. And when we come back, we will continue our conversation. This is Chai Time on 99.5 FM.
The Chai Time Show. We'll be right back on 99.5 FM.
During difficult times like this, there is one important message that I like to share is to have your life folio in check. A life folio is a folder where you place all your important documents and key contact information relating to those documents in one place, so your dependents and your loved ones can have access to it. For a complete checklist of life folio and to have a copy, call me at 832-877-0177. I will provide you with a copy at no cost to you.
Experience royalty at the Maharaja Bhog. Maharaja Bhog, a pure vegetarian cuisine with recipes passed down through generations. 30 different dishes served at your table. Aapka pet to bhar jayega, ji nahi bharega. Visit Maharaja Bhog for a traditional meal in royal style. Boxed meals and catering also available. Call 713-771-2464. That's 713-771-2464.
This is Lynn from Arlings. We have before us many weeks of struggle against coronavirus, the risk of which cannot be underestimated. Our goal is victory and to live again as we once did a few months ago. Kindness, cooperation, and unity are our strengths, which will beat the coronavirus. Arlings expresses the highest gratitude to all the doctors, nurses, and first responders who fight on. God bless Houston. God bless America.
अरे भाई, इस शादी की तकरीब में तो बड़ी रोशनी आए, हर तरफ जगमग जगमग। भाई तुम भी आए हो, इधर आओ।
जी आंटी।
अरे इतने बुझे बुझे क्यों लग रहे हो?
जी कुछ नहीं।
भाई माशाल्लाह, तुम भी अब शादी की उम्र का हो गए हो।
और कोई ऑप्शन भी नहीं था आंटी।
तो फिर अगली बारी तुम्हारी नेक्स्ट नेक्स्ट।
जी आंटी।
हाय हाय, गुड्डू के बेटे का अकीका कितना शानदार है, हर जगह बल्ब टिमटिमा रहे। ओए होए, तुम भी आए हो?
जी आंटी।
भाई सुना है तुम्हारी शादी हो गई?
जी, क्या कर सकते हैं।
हाँ तो मैं कुछ खबरी कब सुना रहे हो, अगली बारी तुम्हारी नेक्स्ट नेक्स्ट।
जी आंटी।
अरे क्या हुआ आंटी जी, इतने अंधेरे में बुझी बुझी क्यों बैठी हैं?
आई तुम्हारे फूफा 95 साल की उम्र में भरी जवानी में छोड़ के चले गए।
आय हाय 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 हाय,
कुछ ना पूछो।
उए 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 उए। तो फिर अगली बारी आपकी हो जाए। नेक्स्ट नेक्स्ट।
चल हट, मरे हमारे दुश्मन, जला दो सारे घर की रोशनी और फानूस। जब हमारे पास हो डिस्काउंट पावर, तो घरों और दिलों में अंधेरा क्यों रहे?
जी आंटी, मुझे दिलों में रोशनियां जगाए।
Go to discountpowertx.com/promotions and sign up today. Discount Power PUCT number 10177.
I'm so sick and tired of just doing the regular girls' night out. We need to think something outside of the box. Like I'm just something different.
I just heard about this new place that opened up in Sugarland. It's called Artsy Soul.
Artsy Soul?
Yeah, it's the new place where you can do mosaic, make candles, pottery, painting.
Wow, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. We should get Sarah and Janie and all our girls together for a girls' night. And it's right on University Boulevard.
Let's do this. Give me the number. Let's get the girls together.
The number is 346-874-7507.
Okay, so the number is 346-874-7507. Got it. Okay, well, I'm going to get the girls on the phone.
Hi, I'm Lynn.
I'm Asma.
I'm Sasha.
I'm Layla.
I'm Alifia.
Join us Mondays from 11 to 12, only on 99.5 FM for a fun afternoon chat with Chai Time,
where we will chat about food, health, beauty, and much, much more. So sit back and just chill.
Just chill, chill, just chill. Just chill, chill, just chill.
You're listening to the Chai Time Show on 99.5 FM.
first half of the conversation. So we are talking to the founder of Unite and Inspire, Rajni. You know, we have been discussing alcohol. COVID-19 has impacted a lot of the nonprofit organizations, but, you know, things don't stop, right? So, like, and how United Inspire is moving on, working greatly with the community and with other nonprofits as well. So, Rajni, getting back to our conversation, we were talking about Be the Match. And so we were saying how you and I and Be the Match has partnered together before COVID-19.
Yes.
Yes,
yeah. As I said, we were collaborating even before COVID-19, right? From the inception of the UNDI, we've been collaborators with Be The Match. And the reason behind that is we wanted to do focused projects with Be The Match, like with our collaborators, such a way that the children get a complete understanding of the cause, and then they become the brand ambassadors of this cause. You know, that the great success of that was after we were done with a few of the projects and the internship of the summer internship in 2019, a lot of these kids came back to us saying that we are waiting when we can be 18 so that we can be the donors and that we can register ourselves as donors. So that's a success, and that this future generation, this present generation and the future generation should be the ones who would be readily, you know, coming forward to help their friends in the community. So that is the first success. And that didn't stop there. Like, that is just the first step. And then they took it to the next step of, even in this crisis, like when they understood that there is extreme shortage of blood and there is a lot of apprehension in the community for coming out and going for the blood donation, they came up with such powerful messages, and they made these videos, and they spread the message through their social media, and they did all that they can and in all the means that they can do for this cause. Now, we don't really sit and explain the cause. They already know it. So that's where they are, you know. So now they are coming up with the next level of their commitment, where how do we take this cause to the people? You know, so they are coming, they are in that phase of understanding, and they are in that phase of activities that they proactively come forward and they do these, and then they do not even look at how many hours are we spending on this or how much time does it require. Now, we, even if we ask them repeatedly, like, do this edit, do that edit, they're very patient. They do all that and they understand, and they're very committed and giving spirits. Like, they have such positive spirit in them that they make us do all these, and they make us come up with all these kinds of activities. It is not us, it is them who is driving this forward.
That's wonderful. So yeah. Now we all know that, you know, school has ended for the year. And, of course, there's online classes are still going on. Mm-hmm. So what happens to all the summer activities that, you know, that your group we have? Will that still continue?
Yes, pretty much, but in a different way. You know, like how we had adapted to the online schooling now, even our partners like the libraries, they have approached us if we can conduct the virtual classes, like just like how we were doing the classes with the school. They wanted to conduct these virtual sessions to the community through the library. And we, on a regular schedule, what we do is our summer is the busiest month. Like the June, July, and August are the busiest months for us. We do the activities weekdays and weekends, and we go for volunteering at our partner insights, and we do special works, special projects, and we also conduct the classes in the library for the community. So if children are the main core, their supporting structure is our adults, the parents. So the beauty in UNI is the parents and the children, they do it together. It's like not just children coming and we mentoring them and doing it. No, the first mentor are their parents. Like, they get all this mentoring from them, and then they come together as team, and then we have lots of parents like who are our team members. They give their time so dedicatedly besides their work, besides their commitment at home, and, you know, they make sure that all the activities what we have go smooth and systematically, and the parents also like come forward as, like, say, if we have these coding sessions, what we do to the community, especially in those libraries where the children do not have these classes running in the schools, they come to the libraries to avail these subjects, these classes. So we teach over there, and our adults are the instructors, and they train the volunteers to be the instructors, to be the trainers, you know. So we do these classes in a regular schedule, physically in the libraries, physically in the partnering sites and all that. But now we are doing virtually, like we are going to do that.
Okay.
And we have lots of other projects lined up where everything is going to be like at home project, and then taking it online, or coming together through the Zoom and then conducting it for our partnering sites. So these are different kinds of and we are not yet there with the summer schedule opened up yet, because we work along with our partners. So they are also, like, you know, looking at their schedules and what are the you know, shuffles what we need to do in the schedulings, what we originally had to what we would have now. So accordingly, we will be laying out a schedule for the summer months. But we are sure to have all these special projects running for the children, and in a very productive way, and in a way that, you know, they get the satisfaction that they have done something impactfully for the community. And they can see it, you know, start to finish. They can see these projects running.
Yes. And when you were talking about the parents being involved with the kids, I still remember the kids that the event that you had before COVID-19,
right,
where we had kidpreneurship, I believe, right? Kidpreneurship.
Yes.
And it was such a wonderful event, because to see the parents and the children involved, but yet at the same time, the kids are more doing it more individually by themselves or with their team members.
Right.
So it is such a joint effort.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful, because, you know, sometimes we see a lot of parents take over.
Yeah.
Literally take over projects. You know, so seeing this during that event, it was wonderful. I think that the kids are doing most of the work.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they had a time slot where they were trying to sell their product.
Mm-hmm.
And kids would go on stage and say, hey, I'm doing a discount now because it's almost time to close.
Yeah. That's part of entrepreneurship. Yeah.
Yes, so that is so great to see, because whenever parents and kids come together, it's more about parents being very protective. And in this way, I guess, parents do realize, and it is, you know, it is a lesson learned, that parents do realize that the kids are capable
Well, I don't blame parents, because parenting, that is all about parenting, right? Like, we are very protective about your children.
Yes, but sometimes I think it's being way overprotective, and that's where, you know, the boundary should be set, because the kids are very smart at a very young age, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And given the opportunity, given the chance, they can do wonders. They can even surprise us, and they can even teach us. So.
Yes. Absolutely. They surprise the teachers all the time. And as I said, the inspiration for us to keep doing what we're doing is from the children. It's more than anyone. It is from the children that we get it. Yeah. They come up with all innovative ideas. Sometimes I actually throw my idea open to them and ask them, like, what do you think about this? You know, when I just throw that idea, then they come up brilliantly, like, you know, how we can execute this project, or how this idea can turn into a project. They come up with such brilliant ideas. All these children, they approach, and they are not hesitant, and they are like, the beauty here is the children in the school system, they are brought up such a way that they are not hesitant to express their ideas. But it's just, we have to give them that room to explore their ideas. You know, so that is what we are doing it here at U&I, that we not only encourage them to come up with their own innovative ideas, but we also give them that room to explore that, and their parents beautifully support that. And but we more and more adults also to participate, and not just the kids. And so anyone, like, say, if in our listeners, like, if there is anyone who is at a stage like where their children are gone to the college and they still want to do it, they're welcome to come and join us in these efforts, because they can teach all these children, or they can let the other adults know, like, what are the other ways of giving back. So it is for everyone. It is for children, for parents, and anyone who would like to contribute at different levels, like be it as a volunteer or be it as a team member or at any level that they would want to do, like instructors, you know. As you said, the beauty is there in our organization. You can see that they're letting the children do. They're letting the children fall, but we are there to catch them. You know, that is what every time I tell these children, it's okay to make mistakes. You do make mistakes, but you'll only learn from that.
Right.
You will not really be doing anything wrong by making a mistake, but you will only be making the best of it by learning from your mistakes and then making it better. You know, we are only here happily and with a good heart giving back to the community. There is nothing wrong. There will not be anything that we'll be doing wrong. It is only that we probably have to adapt. So this kind of an attitude that we are trying to bring into them, that, you know, this is not a school. This is like something that we are doing happily to learning about your own community. So there's nothing like right or wrong in this. And so the parents also relax when they get to know about all these things, because they are only tuned to what it is in the school, right? Because in school, you cannot really go wrong. You have to keep up with your curriculum requirements, and you have to make sure that your kid is following that, your kid is meeting that, and all the requirements are done and assignments are done. So this kind of pressure, it is there in their minds, you know. So parents are always on that pressure level. Oh, here, we give them the chance to relax. Take this as a stress-busting channel, you know, like what we are doing to the community is like a stress-busting, and you have to enjoy that, what we're doing. So that's why we are always open to any parent approaching us and giving us ideas. In this COVID situation too, there are a lot of parents who came up with different ideas to me, like whether it is possible to do or not to do is something that we have to look into. And the beauty is, like, they are open to that. Even if I say, sorry, I don't think we will not be able to do this at this point, that doesn't discourage them. In another 2 days or 3 days, they see something else and they bring that to me. So, you know, it's always about how much we can give back and in what ways we can give back. So they are not only doing this, like, you know, as individuals, but they're also doing this as parents, and they're letting their children come up with this. So this is going to be like, you know, a cycle where, you know, we are giving to them and they are giving to the children, and children again are giving back to the organization and to the community. So it's a beautiful cycle of works that goes in the UNI. As the name says, it is you and I.
Yeah, I love that name. And you are doing exactly that. So, you know, that is wonderful.
Yeah.
So a lot of the students that will be putting in their time and their effort, will they be recognized for that? Because I know, like, the schools do need some kind of community hours for
yes.
the children. And now everything is being done remotely.
Mm-hmm.
Will that still be recognized for them?
Yes, because we are bringing these activities, and we are offering these activities as an organization to the volunteers. These hours are recognized, and every volunteering activity and the hours that they put are recognized for the school. And we are a PVSA certifying organization, meaning Presidential Volunteer Service Award. This is an annual recognition that we give to the volunteers. Like, this is for permanent residents and the citizens of US, and based on their age group, like kids, teens, and young adults, in the age group, if they have, suppose, say, in the kids age range, like 5 to 11, if they have put 25 hours, they are eligible for a bronze medal, and this is a national recognition what they get. And this is given to only those organizations who are certified, who are recognized as a certifying organization by the PVSA. So they get these recognitions, and which is a feather added to their curriculum. And also we support them with recommendation letters like that they need for any of the NJHS that they are part of, like National Junior Honor Society. So if they are, if the kids are applying for any position in that, or if they want to be part of it and want to become a member, then giving a letter of recommendation for that. So these are the ways that we help them. So it is a mutual thing. Like, while they're helping the community, we are helping the kids to get advantage of their commitment and their hours and the dedication for their career, for their curriculum. And say, like, for the high schoolers, when they are going into the college, all these years that they are putting their hours through you and I and the activities that they have done, we give them a letter of recommendations for their college admissions. And there's at some times like these volunteers, they take part in special projects consecutive years. So that's like a very systematic way they're putting in their effort in that they are not at the position where they were when they started off, right? So there is a good range of improvement what they have done to the project, to that special campaign or like a project or initiative what we have done through you and I. So that reflects in a very good way on their letter of recommendation and for their college admissions. And sometimes these kids, they choose that kind of campaigns or the initiatives that falls within their interest. Like say someone is interested in pursuing their medicine. So they, right from the time they join the organization, although they take part in all other activities, they put little more effort towards what we are doing for the Be The Match. So we mold that interest towards a cause. Like they are stepping in for their requirement, they want to build their resume that they have done this and they have done so much. And those stats, they want to build those stats for their college admission, but that is all we need for them to step in, and then we mold them towards us. So at the end of the day, like, they forget about why they stepped in, they only remember like what they need to do now.
That's great.
Yeah.
So at what age can the children be involved in volunteering at TQNI?
From the age 5.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Wow, that's a young age.
Yes, and they are the most energetic and positive force.
Okay.
Kids, they are the positive force, and they, as I said, they never hesitate to say what it is, whether it is good or bad, or they enjoyed it, or they want to improve it. I get the most honest feedback from them.
That's good. And they find, we were talking about high school kids, but once they graduate and go into college, do you find them coming back
as
to volunteer? Okay.
Absolutely. Oh, yes. For our annual, if you have seen that, you come to our event, right? Like all the short films, what we have done, the voiceover was given by our volunteer who is in college now. And I didn't have to really say anything because she was there with me from the past 4 years, and she has enjoyed this community service so much that I just had to give her a few highlights, pointers.
Yeah.
She did the entire narration in her own words, and see, that passion carries like that. And when someone is dedicated and so passionate about what they have done in the past and how they would want to carry it forward, they're always part of you and I, and they're always welcome to come back. And we are open to even the college students who can register with us and then continue doing what they've been doing and take it to the next level, and do it at the place that where they are.
Right.
We are here to mentor them, still we continue to mentor them and give them all kinds of resources what they need to do with these projects what they have started. Yeah.
Right.
So we often see them coming back. Yeah.
Right. And of course we have been, this hour we've been focusing on kids, on high schoolers, and also we talked about the parents. How about the adults?
Adults are the main requirement what we have now. We need adults to come in, we need them to come and join our force and give their expertise to what we are doing, and make us understand that how we can adapt this or change these for the betterment, and often when in this kind of COVID situation, yes, we cannot let the children go and we cannot let the parents of the children go, but if we had adult volunteers who are there, we partnered with Seva International. They're doing such incredible job in this COVID situation, and they have such wonderful volunteers who are adults. So our adult volunteers have taken part in their helpline and doing their bit. So we wanted to partner with them and help their their efforts in this COVID-19 situation. Because we as organization with these kids, we cannot step in. But showing the way to our kids that you don't have to do all by yourselves. You can partner with other organizations who are doing this and then still contribute to that remotely. So that is an example what we wanted to give to the children. So we partnered with Seva and a couple of our volunteers, they were there for their helpline and contributing to their efforts. And also other nonprofits in the community like Attack Poverty, Fort Bend Family Promise, and several others. Like, you know, we all had these conferences, what we had like through the Zoom every Monday, and assessing and coming to the stats of the needs and all that. So we shared this information. If we had adults more, then they could be part of all of these, and they can bring these necessities and all these things into action, and we could be more actively contributing to the community. So that is like, you know, we would be able to bring the difference if we had more adult volunteers, and also for the team, for running the team, or like, you know, giving their expertise to the special teams, what we have, like the coding. There could be some software professionals who would want to share their expertise, you know. Like, they're all stressed out in their offices. And spending time with these kids and giving back to the community like this would only help them to relax. And they enjoy that a lot, you know. So welcome the adults to join us like that and, you know, help us in taking these efforts one level high.
That's wonderful. And so if they want to get more information, do they just go on to your Unite and Inspire website?
Yes, uniteandinspire.org. Yeah. So that's the website. They have all the information. And we have all the information relating to this campaign as well, this COVID-19 relief campaign. So the difference is we are not doing the COVID response campaign. That is for adults. We are doing the relief campaign where the children are bringing their energy to that. So they can find all the information over there. And please look out for our children approaching any one of you for the supplies and do support them.
Okay. And just before, we are just about running out of time, so before we wrap up, is there any other message you would like to give our listeners out there from you and I?
Sure. Crisis happens. Crisis can happen anytime in anyone's life and in the world, any part of the world. But how we come out of this crisis and how positively we come out and how you and I contribute to this positive impact that we can bring to the community matters. And that is the lesson, or that is the example what we are giving to the generations. And I want an appeal to everyone to do their bit to the community, either through our organization or individually or through any other organization. Just give a little bit of your time and bring the difference.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Rajni. I really appreciate you giving us your time. And I want to thank you and your wonderful organization. Good luck to you all.